In March of 2000, the conceptual artist Mark Lombardi was found hanged in his studio. And in the art world, speculation began to swirl about whether his death was suicide or murder. That's because right before his death, Lombardi had been working on a series of drawings documenting connections between George W. Bush and the Bin Laden family, and also between banking, organized crime, and intelligence agencies. And to a lot of people, that just seemed way too suspicious to ignore. Patricia Goldstone is the author of Interlock, Art, Conspiracy, and the Shadow Worlds of Mark Lombardi. Doug Gordon talked with her.
I have to confess that I'd never heard of Lombardi until I discovered your book. So let's talk a bit about who Mark Lombardi was.
Well, Mark was a conceptual artist, which essentially means he drew ideas and not water lilies. Some people are considering him, to be the first great artist of the 21st century. He is unique in the art world because he used interlocks to create his art. Now, interlocks are flowcharts. They're used to trace overly cozy relationships between boards of directors. They're commonly found in accounting and in certain types of litigation, but certainly not in art. Mark used them to draw a continual visual history of the interconnections between intelligence, organized crime, corporations, and governments in the shadow banking industry we've heard so much about since 2007. He was particularly interested in tracing things like money laundering and tax evasion, and he was way ahead of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange in releasing a very wide swath of extremely uncomfortable information to the public. His work is really a kind of visual WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I love that phrase, visual WikiLeaks. Can you describe for our listeners what Lombardi's art looked like?
Yes, they're quite lyrical. I mean, they remind me of constellations in a desert sky, or spider webs sometimes, or snowflakes. They're very delicate, very ethereal. The lines are very light. And they're really very pretty until you get up close and you look at what's in them.
Yeah, exactly. And then it creates this kind of cognitive dissonance. It's beautiful from a distance. And then you get up and, what? There's a connection between the bushes and everything else. So how did Lombardi become interested in the subject of his art, these incestuous connections between banking, organized crime, and intelligence agencies and petrodollars?
Well, it's one of the most curious creation stories in art history, I think. Mark was hired very early on in his artistic career by a very eminent female politician in Houston, Sissy Farenthold, a woman who once ran for vice president of the United States. She was very active in the Texas House of Representatives, trying to investigate corruption related to the Texas savings and loan scandals that really ruined the Texas economy in the 1980s. And she essentially commissioned Mark. I wasn't able to discover whether money actually passed hands, but she certainly functioned as his patron. She wanted him to use his formidable research skills to trace the connections between the players in the Texas subprime scandal and the players in the Iran-Contra funding scandal.
The subjects that Lombardi was conveying in his art seemed like they would be better suited to investigative journalism. So I'm curious, why did he want to communicate the secret information as art instead? You mentioned that he didn't have drawing skills, but there's got to be more to it than that, doesn't there?
Of course there is, and it's a great question. Mark was a very verbal person. He was very articulate, very polished socially. And Mark had ambitions to write, to actually be an investigative reporter. He started a book on the rogue bank BCCI, which was the basis of another scandal that broke some years after Iran-Contra in the early 1990s. BCCI was a bank that billed itself as the Bank of America for the Third World, and it was in fact enormous. It spanned about 80 countries at its height, but it was also the CIA's global money laundry. And Mark tried writing about it, but the narrative grew so enormous that he said he couldn't keep it in his head. And in order to organize it for himself, he started drawing it.
Yeah. And a lot of Lombardi's interlocks focused on the Bush family and their business affairs. Can you give me an example of the Bush-related art that he created and what it revealed about them?
One of his drawings, George W. Bush, Harkin Energy, and Jackson Stevens, traces the corporate history of Arbusto Energy, which was George W.'s oil company, and connects George W. Bush to the Bin Laden family through James R. Bath, who was the interface, the business interface between the Saudis and various Texas banking and oil interests.
Did any of the Bushes or the other people that were subjects of his art, did any of them retaliate because of the secrets about them that he was revealing in his interlocks?
Not that I was able to discover.
This was, though, dangerous art, literally, wasn't it, that Mark Lombardi was creating? Was that part of the appeal of it for Mark?
Possibly, but I think that Mark was, you know, he was a bit like a scientist in that he was very committed to ultimately getting an entire financial system of systems down on paper for everyone to see. And I have to say that he was quite equal opportunity in his finger pointing. He went after the Clintons almost as much as he went after the Bushes.
Mark Lombardi died in March 2000. What happened?
Well, the circumstances of his death are indeed very mysterious. He had no clinical history of depression. His mother, to whom he was very close and to whom he spoke almost daily, told me that he was very happy a couple of days before he died. He was getting the success he had single-mindedly worked to achieve. He may have been unhappy at the breakup of a relationship, but he was very attractive to women and attracted to women, and he was actually seeing someone else at the time. I actually began my research by getting hold of the police reports through a friend of mine in the homicide department in New York, and I realized that there were a lot of things that just didn't ring true. A time of death was never established, for one, and establishing death by hanging is a very controversial area of forensic pathology. That and the fact that the police based their verdict of death by suicide, which was a very hasty one, they closed the investigation after only 2 days and after speaking to only two witnesses, really. They based their verdict on the testimony of one witness who appeared increasingly unreliable during the interview process. I actually ended up tracking down the two cops who found him, and one of them, who was a rookie at the time, showed signs of doubt. Their other pillar of evidence, which was the absence of signs of struggle and the fact that the door was securely locked from the inside, are also questionable, which I explain in the book. And then, of course, there's the exact nature of what is in the drawings, which could cause any number of people to want him dead. There are a lot of names in those drawings.
So what do you think? Did Lombardi commit suicide, or was he murdered? Or
after writing the book, I'm very skeptical of the notion that he committed suicide. He seemed to me, you know, to be a very impish guy.
Yeah.
A guy with a very good sense of humor. He was very good socially. He was quite gregarious when he wanted to be. He had a lot of friends. He wasn't a terribly lonely man.
Mm-hmm. If he was indeed murdered, do you have any theories about who? Like, would it have been someone seeking revenge for having his or her illicit secrets revealed in Lombardi's art?
That's the most obvious supposition, of course. I am careful to say that I do not have a smoking gun, and there are a lot of names in those drawings. Not only are there the Bushes, the CIA, the Vatican Bank, Guillermo Hernandez Cartoya, the drug cartels, the American Mafia. He is supposed to have gotten a phone call. He actually mentioned this in a conversation with a journalist in Williamsburg the year before he died. He said that he had received a phone call from somebody in Albany telling him to back off of his investigations into the five crime families of New York.
What is Mark Lombardi's legacy?
He has a number of legacies. Mark is very highly recognized today in the world of computer science. He's considered the first artist to do metadata because of the sheer volume of information in his drawings. The computer scientists that I interviewed in the course of writing the book consider him a pioneer in social network analysis because the aesthetics of his work offer a new way to visualize traffic analysis and make it readable, which is something that computers analyzing huge volumes of information still have trouble with, according to what I was told. His drawings are still being studied for clues on how artificial intelligence can do narrative, another skill that computers have trouble replicating. One way of looking at his work is that he wrote with lines and he spaced his arcs with an almost symphonic effect. That's what makes them easy to read and directs the eye of the viewer.
Yeah. Would you say that Mark Lombardi was a conspiracy theorist?
No, I wouldn't really.
Why not? Because it seems like the subject of his art, everything, all these, the shadowy banking and its links with various people and the mafia and the Vatican and various organizations just seems to me anyway, to reek of conspiracy theories.
Well, I think that actually demeans the depth and breadth of what he did. Mark's work neither explained nor speculated. He dealt in fact and not in theory, and for the most part, as we've discussed in previously published and substantiated fact, his work is extremely concrete.
But some conspiracy theories, some of them are proven to be true. If you expand your definition of conspiracy theory, you know, to include many things that are just theories, but also, well, yeah, to be in conspiracy theories that are proven to be true, then you could say that his art chronicled that or proved that certain theories were true. Would that be fair to say?
That's fair to say. In the words of the immortal Zero Mostel, I'm not paranoid. My enemies are real.
Patricia Goldstone is the author of Interlock, Art, Conspiracy, and the Shadow Worlds of Mark Lombardi. She talked with Doug Gordon. And if you want to see some of Mark's art, there's a link on our website. That's at ttbook.org.